All right, come on in, find a seat. It's good to have you with us this morning. I knew that I was starting to lose it when last week we were in Lahaina on Maui and we're walking along and I saw a guy sitting kind of on the wall by the ocean, really tanned guy, middle-aged guy about my age, spent a lot of time out in that sun, looked like a homeless guy. He's sitting there with a big smile on his face, had a bunch of like palm leaves that he was tearing to pieces, and he was weaving a nice little hat out of it. And I thought, you know, I could do that. I could do that. I could just cash it all in. I could come down here, Marina and I, we could sit here and we could weave hats together, put a little verse on it, call it ministry, send out a support letter, you know, support us in our ministry in Hawaii. Bible hats for Jesus or something like that. I knew I was in trouble at that point, and it was good that we were getting ready to return. And so in a desperate attempt to get my thoughts focused, I went down to the Cyber Cafe right before it was time to come home. I went to the Cyber Cafe and took my little memory stick and downloaded the sermons from the last two Sundays that I had missed so I could listen to them on the plane. So got on the plane, got my iPod, listened to the messages, got pumped up, got focused. It was great. Came back and I told Jonathan and Adam. I said, yeah, I listened to the sermons on the plane on the way back. And Jonathan said, so do we still have our jobs? Well, I was with a friend over there who formerly was in the ministry. And he told me that one time he went to Israel for 2 weeks. And when he came back, the elders had voted him out. And he didn't have a job, so he goes, I don't know what you're doing over here, dude, but when you go back, you probably won't have a job. So I said, do I still have a job? I mean, I don't know. But it was so great to hear the word, really, to hear what God is doing in our midst. And I really appreciated the word that Jonathan brought and that Adam brought. And we're going to turn a little bit of a corner here this morning in our study in the word. I want to look at Colossians in chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. It's very important. What we're doing this morning in the life of our church and as we look forward to where we're headed as a congregation and as believers in Christ. There are two things that are put together in Scripture. Consistently, these two things are coupled together. It's something that you might not expect. And unless you're looking for it and kind of thinking about it, it'd be really easy to miss this connection. Two things that are put together. And the first thing is this. It is becoming deeper in the love of God. Deeper in the love of God. That's the first thing. And we've been talking about that at our church for the last 5 weeks. We've been talking about growing deeper in the love of God. We did a sermon series, Love is Patient, Love is Kind, Love is Humble. I know a lot of people are still with their yellow pads and they're stuck on patient. That's okay. Just let it soak in. Jonathan shared a great word from Philippians chapter 2, picking up on that theme of becoming like Jesus in the life of our community, being a loving community. Adam shared a great word from John 17 about that you belong. And again, that theme of being a loving community of Jesus Christ. So we've been 5 weeks on that subject, and that's one thing. But here's the next thing. The next thing is becoming deeper in the Word of God. And they're connected. They're not separate. They're always linked in Scripture. Growing deeper in the love of God. That's our goal. Now you know your goal. We decided we're going to pursue love. We said, choose your goals carefully because you might not always make your goals, but your goals will always make you. So pursue love. And that's one thing that we're doing as a community of Jesus Christ. But the next thing goes along with it. It is grow deeper in the Word of God. And it is an equal goal. Pursue a greater depth in God's Word. And they're linked together. Take a look at it in Colossians in chapter 3. And we're going to start in verse 12. Colossians 3:12. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you, and over all these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. And it's just like, if you could summarize the last 5 weeks and put it in a little paragraph, there it is. Pursue love. But let's read on. In verse 15, let the peace of Christ rule in your heart, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. And let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. It's a wonderful passage. It tells us what we're supposed to be pursuing as a church. Pursue love. That's that first part. Verse 12, 13, 14, 15. A lot of that is really, it's about pursuing love. It's our goal. And then it just kind of turns a corner, but it's connected. And he says, pursue the word. Become deeper in the word of God. He says, and do this. Let the word of Christ dwell richly in you. Now we know what our goal is. Now we know what our job is as a believing community. We're shooting for love, and we're shooting to become deeper in the Word. That's the way it is. These two are always connected. We're going to look at a lot of verses today because we're talking about the Word, so it's all right. We've got a lot of verses to look at. And we're going to see a pattern, and the pattern is that there is this connection between love and the Word of God. You can't separate the two in the Christian community. You can't say, well, that's good. I'll tell you what, you pursue love, and I'm going to pursue the Word. It doesn't work that way. They go hand in hand. As we move into the fall, we're going to be getting in the Word. We're going to have a series of studies. It's going to be exciting. I'll tell you a little bit more about that in a few minutes. And I'm very serious about it. You know, at our church, we do what we call expositional teaching of the Word, which means we take sections of Scripture and we just travel through them. We just work our way through Scripture. And it's very, very important. And the reason why is because we want to be deeper in the Word. And you know what? We want to be deeper still. So in the fall, we're going to be doing things in our church that will give you more of an opportunity to connect in a strong, deep, powerful way in the Word. But first, we have to get our attitude right. We have to open our hearts and to know what it is that we're doing. So that's what this morning is about. I'm going to share with you this morning how it is that you can let the Word of Christ dwell richly within your life. And here's how it goes. Point number one, we need to receive the Word of God as the life-giving seed of God's Spirit in our hearts. Receive the Word of God as a life-giving seed within our hearts. Now, I told you there's a pattern, and so I'm going to show you another verse now that picks up on this pattern, and it talks about the Word as a seed. So go to 1 Peter in your Bible. If you don't have a Bible, the words will be up on the screen, and you can follow along. 1 Peter chapter 1 in verse 22. You're going to see a pattern developing right before your eyes. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for your brothers, love one another deeply from the heart. So there it is. So pursue love. Okay? Love one another deeply from the heart. Let's get into it. Let's make this a goal. And now, connected, verse 23. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring Word of God. For all men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers, and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord stands forever. And this is the word that was preached to you. You see, there's a pattern. There's a connection. Love deeply. And now he turns your thoughts to the word of God. This is the way that we work as believers. Now, I know that when we've shared these messages on love, it's stirred up a lot of angst amongst people. myself included. You know, I'm up here preaching about love and sharing this, and every week I'm going home and I'm going, oh my gosh, this is true, and it's challenging, and I can't just preach this, I got to do this in my life. And so just like you, I was on my knees praying and saying, Lord, help me to be patient, help me to be kind, help me to be humble, teach me to love, Lord. And so I've been seeking the Lord. But here's the thing. In the Word, there's the pattern, and that is love is always connected to the Word. And there's a reason why. It is because the seed of the Word dwelling within us, implanted within our hearts, is going to be the thing that transforms us so that we can act in love, so that we can do these things that we're called to do. It's not like this challenge of love is something that God is saying to you, you know, just go do it and report back. In 10 years, let me know how it's going. It doesn't go like that. The Lord says, you know what? I'm calling you to do this, and I'm going to walk alongside with you and enable you to do that. But how does the Lord walk alongside of us in our Christian life and experience? He does it in large part through the Word of Christ dwelling in our hearts as a seed and developing the life of Christ within us. Jesus' favorite image for the Word of God was that of a seed. The famous parable of the sower and the seed. And in Luke 8:11, he interprets the parable for us. We'll look more at the parable later. But in verse 11, he says, the seed is the Word of God. The seed is the Word of God. The awesome thing about a seed is the mysterious and hidden way in which it works. Quietly, secretly, slowly, but powerfully, it enters in and it begins to change the landscape of our lives and of our world. On October 13th, 1939, a man named Joseph bent over, dug a little hole in the ground, and placed there a tiny seed. I know this is true because not long ago I went up to Mount Angel Abbey, and there before me is a giant sequoia tree, beautiful, huge, towering over the buildings, and at the foot of it, a tiny plaque. And on the plaque, it records, on October 13th, 1939, Joseph planted a seed here. And I wonder, when did they put the plaque there? I mean, if someone recorded it, the date and everything, it must have been an act of faith. They went and they said, okay, photo op, take the picture, dig the hole, here's the seed, get the plaque ready, put it in the ground, cover it up, little water, put the plaque. That's faith. And years later, there's this giant, amazing, beautiful tree, and it came from that seed. Isn't a seed an amazing thing? It's just so amazing. Hidden within that seed is the code of life. Hidden within it are the building blocks of a new beginning, of a radical transformation, of a living thing. And it can lie dormant for months, weeks, years, centuries, and if it's planted and the conditions are right, it will spring to life and some amazing, beautiful thing will grow there. And Jesus, his favorite metaphor for the Word of God was a seed. Now, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. In the book of James, he talks about receiving the implanted Word within us. It's been implanted within your life. Jesus deals in seeds. Did you know that? I heard a modern-day parable about a woman who was out shopping. She was downtown. She's going from store to store. She recognizes a store she'd never seen before. She looks in the window. She looks across. She says, oh my gosh, I think that's Jesus in there behind the counter. So she walks into the store and she says, aren't you? He says, yes, I'm Jesus. Well, what do you have in this store? He says, whatever you need. Whatever you really want, but it has to be good. Only good stuff here. She walks up and down the aisle. She sees just labels. You know how they have, you take the ticket and take it to the counter to get what you want? Just labels. You know, patience, peace, love, joy, grace, blessing, justice, ministry, all these, you know, wonderful things. Reconciliation. She's like, oh. She walks up to the counter. She says, well, this is great. She's got a pile of stuff. She says, this is what I want, you know. And Jesus reaches into the counter and just starts bringing out packets of seeds. What's this? Oh, didn't I tell you? We deal in seeds here. Her face dropped. She walks out, kept shopping. We deal in seeds here. Let the word of Christ dwell richly in your heart. This is the seed of God's word that has been implanted into you. And it will bear fruit in your life in an amazing, remarkable way. But how will this work? How will the seed work in your life? You have to give it time. You have to let it dwell in you deeply and richly. Let's go to Psalm chapter 1. Psalm 1. By the way, you know the book of Psalms is what? It's the book of prayer and praise, isn't it? It's all prayers, worship, praise, interaction, fellowship with God. That's Psalm, book of Psalms. But Psalm 1 is not a prayer. Psalm 1 is not worship. It's the gateway to praise. It's the gateway. It's the door to worship. It's the door to relationship. And it's about the Word. It's about the Word. Psalm 1. Blessed is the man or woman who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law he meditates day and night. And he is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither, and whatever he does, prosper. What a great promise. But isn't it interesting? It's the gateway into relationship, into prayer, into worship, to loving God, but the gate starts with the Word. And that Word is like a seed that is planted and it becomes a great tree. How does it work in our lives? He says, this is the person who meditates in the Word day and night. Let the Word, it said in Colossians, dwell in you richly. Let it work its way down into the soil of your heart. How can you do that? You need to meditate on the Word day and night. You need to fill your heart and your mind with the Word. It will bear fruit, amazing fruit. Now, when we were in Hawaii, we did a lot of cool things. We went to the rainy side of the island. We saw where the hippies grow pot. We didn't buy any, but we saw it all. We went to where the volcano is. The lava comes down. It's amazing to see that. Saw the ocean. Great. But the greatest thing that we did was to go visit Bob and Madeline Greenwald. Bob Greenwald was a man who God used to mentor my wife, Maureen, when she was in high school. And he's a wonderful guy. He's 83 years old now. And they moved over there a couple years ago. So we decided to go visit them, go to church with them, the Hula Church and all that. And I went to church with them. Afterwards, went out to lunch. And it was really a highlight. It was a great thing. I met Bob 30 years ago. I met Maureen. Maureen said, you got to meet Bob. You won't understand my life until you meet Bob. So we went to the beach down in San Clemente, where she's from, and that's where Bob lived. And we went out on the beach, and Bob comes walking out. And he's walking out with a Bible and a book. And the book is called The Unshakable Kingdom by E. Stanley Jones. And he walks out onto the beach, sits down, looks at me, says, glad to meet you. He says, I understand that you love the Word of God and that you're interested in the kingdom. I said, yes, it's true. He said, let's talk about the kingdom of God. And we just sat on the beach and he just went. He just went off. It was amazing. And he's in the Word and he's opening his Bible. He's got this book out and he's telling me about Jesus and asking questions and we're having this big dialogue. It was an amazing thing. And I said, okay, now I get it. Now I get it. So a Marine calls Bob and says, hey, we're over here. We'd like to come by. He says, come by. I want to talk about the kingdom of God. I got some new thoughts. I'm going to run them by your husband. We're talking about the kingdom. So we went to church, went out to lunch. He says, let's talk about the kingdom. And he just picks right up. And it was amazing. This guy's 83. He's so on fire for the Lord. Totally on fire for the Lord. And you know what's really, really cool? Is that he's sharing the Word. He's sharing the Word. You know, anything, you know, you say, well, I think, you know, the kingdom is kind of about this. You go, yeah, well, what about this verse? And then you just, like, quote a whole paragraph from memory. And then you say something else. And you go, oh, well, what about, and then you quote a whole paragraph from memory. He's just filled with the Word. And it's just so fruitful in his life. It's a great thing. And I thought, you know, when I grow up, I want to be like Bob. That's the thing. Because it's so powerful. Now, when Marine was in high school, Bob, he was never in the ministry officially. He wasn't on a church staff. But he always ministered to kids. He always ministered to people around him the Word. Always. And he actually would pay the kids to memorize the Word. Now, I don't know if this is ethical or not. But I'm really thinking that we ought to change our youth ministry. Forget the budget, going on trips and all this stuff. Just pay him. Just pay him to memorize. $5 a chapter. He paid his kids $5 a chapter to memorize the Word. In 1972, that's pretty good money. $5 a chapter. Isaiah 55, I quoted from it today. Marine memorized it. $5. Awesome. This is a guy who understands the power of the Word at work in your life. I want us to be a church that we let the Word of Christ dwell richly within us. Now, here's the thing. In order to do this, we'll have to pursue it. It's just like pursuing love. You just can't think happy thoughts, you know. Happy, happy, happy. I'm a loving person. Nah, a little harder than that. You're going to have to pray about it. You're going to have to think about it. You're going to have to work it out in your life. Okay, for us to be a church growing deeper in the Word, we're going to have to work at it as a congregation together. I want to ask you to do that. I want you to identify in your life obstacles that would hinder you from growing deeper in the Word. Now, Jesus himself outlined for us what some of those things might be. So let's go back to that famous parable in Luke chapter 8, the parable of the sower and the seeds. Remember the parable of the sower and the seeds? Jesus said the sower goes out and he takes the seeds and he just scatters them. It's just the shotgun approach. He's just throwing seeds everywhere, just pelting the earth with seeds. And some of the seeds fall along the footpath, which because it's been smashed down, it's all hard and the seeds can't penetrate and they get stepped on and the birds come and just take them away and they don't produce anything. And some of the seeds go out into areas that are rocky. So they actually have a thin layer of soil and there's some moisture and the seed falls there and it just sprouts up because of that moisture. And it sprouts up in the sunshine, but the roots can't go because of the rocks, and so it just dies out, and there's no fruit of it. And some of the seeds fall into ground, which is good ground, but it's also mixed with all the weeds. So the weeds grow up with the good seed and choke it out, and it becomes unfruitful. And some fall on the good ground and is really, really fruitful. Here's the explanation. Luke 8, verse 11. This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the Word of God. Those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the Word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. Those on the rock are the ones who receive the Word with joy when they hear it. But they have no root. They believe for a while, but in time of testing, in difficult times, they fall away. The seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, hold on to it, and by persevering, they produce a crop. Great parable. But did you know that there's obstacles? Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, and it's great, but you know there's obstacles to that. There is an enemy who does not want you to have the word dwell deeply in you. We're in a spiritual battle in our lives. One of the things that I did while we were on vacation, this house that we were at, they had on a coffee table a book of World War II. And I'm not really a World War II buff, but I'm like, well, I'll tell you, it was a pictorial history of World War II. And so I picked it up to look at some of the pictures. It was a great big book. And I realized that not only did it have pictures, but it had every single day in World War II leading up to it, and every single day of the war, everything that happened everywhere in the world in very small print with pictures. It was one of the most amazing things I've ever seen. And the next thing you know, I got totally sucked into it. I was lost to Marine for about 2 days. She's like, when will the war end so we can have fun again? Don't talk to me, you know, next day. I mean, day by day by day, I couldn't believe it. I was stunned because, you know, you see things about the war in different episodes and never really put it all together. And when it's all laid out day by day, this is happening in Russia, this is happening in Europe, this is in North Africa, here's in the Asian theater what's happening. And you just realize on any given day, the entire world is at war. I was just stunned by it. And of course, the whole time I'm thinking, the entire world is at war, isn't it? Isn't it still at war? And isn't it a spiritual battle? And if we listen to what Jesus Christ has to say, isn't it true that you're at war? And isn't it true that the enemy, one of the greatest things that he wants to stop, there's two things he wants to stop. He wants to stop the love. He wants us to fail at being a loving community. And number two, he wants us to fail at receiving deeply the seed of the word in our lives. He doesn't want it to germinate in our lives. He's going to rip us off if he can. So some seed is just taken by the enemy. Some seed falls on that earth where it's shallow, and when trials or persecution or hardship comes, it just is done. It's just over. You know, it's hard to be a person of the word in the world that we live in today. If you are overtly a person of the word, like if you went to work and you opened your Bible and you're just there reading your Bible in front of other people, it might be a challenge for you. It might be a challenge. It could be tough. And not only that, what about the cares and the anxieties of the world and the deceitfulness of riches? What about all the stuff that just presses in and distracts us? I mean, this is a challenge. But nevertheless, hidden within that seed is the power of God. Amazing. So here's what we want to be. We want to be a church that lets the word of Christ dwell in us richly. We want to stay at it. Stay in the word. Focus on the word. Listen to the word. And the power of the word will work whether you are a believer who's been a believer for many years, or if you're a new believer, or not even a believer yet. If you're like, I don't really know where I'm at. I really don't know if I have faith in Jesus or not. Remember what we read in 1 Peter? Go back to 1 Peter. We can look at a lot of verses today because we're talking about the Word. 1 Peter. Verse 22 at the end. Love one another deeply from the heart. Verse 23, for you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable through the living and enduring word of God. It is the word of God, the seed of the word, that actually brought any of us to faith, if you have faith. That seed of the word. So it works powerfully in the life of a person who's not even a believer. There was a time in my life when I was not a believer in Jesus Christ. I went to church. And it's like I was being pelted by seeds. Guys up there throwing seeds at me, you know. They're just bouncing off. Birds are coming, eating them up, you know. What is this? What is happening? I didn't understand it. I didn't get it. I thought, this is nonsense. I'd go, you know, meet with these Christians. They'd say, well, what did you think about that teaching? I'd think, nonsense? Utter foolishness? Incomprehensible? Would be a few of the words I'd use to describe it. What do you think? And you know what? Little seeds were working in to my heart. And the Bible says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. In Romans 10:17, hearing by the word produces faith, produces life. But here's what's interesting too in 1 Peter. After it talks about the new believer, it says in verse 25, the word of the Lord stands forever, and this is the word that was preached to you. And then the next two verses, I can't remember if I put them on the screen or not, but 1 Peter 2, the very next verse says, therefore, rid yourself of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, slander of every kind, and like newborn babes, crave pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. Now, he changes the image, but he's talking about the same subject. The seed of the word brings you to life. And now, having been like a newborn, he changes it. He says, desire the sincere milk that you may grow. And milk is another image or metaphor of the word of God. It is what nurtures our spiritual life. And so we need to be in the word to do that. How is this going to happen? Well, we let the word of Christ dwell in us richly when we look for Jesus and listen to Jesus in the word. So this is point number two. All right. Point number one is when you need to open your heart, receive the word as the seed of God's spirit, have an open heart. But number two is this, is to look for Jesus and to listen to Jesus in the word. Now, it is the fundamental nature of Scripture that it is primarily about Jesus Christ. It is about Jesus. Remember Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Let the word of Christ. What does that mean? The word of Christ. It could mean the word which is about Christ. It's of Christ or about Christ. Let the word of God, which is about Christ, dwell deeply within you. So one of the things that we need to do as individuals and as a congregation is to look for Jesus in the Scriptures. So here's another verse, Matthew chapter 5. Matthew 5, we're going to look at verse 17, but the pattern's here, same pattern we're talking about. Matthew 5 is a Sermon on the Mount, starts with the Beatitudes, talks about blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are those who mourn, blessed are the meek. It's character qualities, relational things. Verses 13, 14, and 15 talks about how you're the salt of the earth, you're the light of the world, you're going to have an impact on the world. And so it's talking about who we are as a community and how our deeds of love have an impact in the world. But then there's always this connection. So he immediately starts talking about the word. Here it comes, Matthew 5 and verse 17. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. I tell you the truth, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. Jesus, having spoken of God's intention for our lives, to transform our character and to build a community that's a light unto the world, he immediately turns our attention to the word. Here he refers to it as the law because that was code in his times and to his audience for the Old Testament, what we call the Old Testament scriptures, the word of God. He immediately turns their attention to the word. And he says, I have not come to abolish the law or the prophets, but to fulfill them. Jesus wants his followers to know that the focal point of Scripture is Jesus himself. So he teaches us, look for Jesus in the Scriptures. Folks, I can't tell you how important this is. If you're looking to the Scriptures just for information about how to live your life, how to do marriage, how to raise your kids, how to be responsible, if you're looking just for those things, you're missing the critical factor. And that is, you need to look for Jesus in the Scriptures, because Jesus is the one whose life in you will transform you, and then you can live out all these areas of your life. Look for Jesus. And not only look for him, but then listen to him. Let the word of Christ. Well, what if of Christ means not just about Christ, but actually Christ's word speaking to you? Here's the amazing thing about the word. You know, the word is, it's not like reading the newspaper, right? It's not just great literature. I was reading a Steinbeck novel over there. The guy's a great writer. It's amazing. But I don't think it's a living seed. The Bible is amazing. It's a living thing. And as you read the Scriptures and you look for Jesus, you open your heart to listen to Jesus speaking to you through the word. That spark of life happens that is transformational. It's the word of Christ dwelling richly within you. So this is what we're going to do. Now, as we go into the fall, we're going to start a sermon series in our church. And in our sermon series, we're going to look for Jesus. And we're going to listen to Jesus. That's going to be our goal, that the word might dwell in us richly. I went up to Canada, as I do every year, to pray about what are we supposed to teach at our church and what's the focus going to be. And I kind of was heading in a certain direction. I had a suitcase full of resources on 1 John. I thought, we're going to do 1 John. And I got up there and I felt like the Lord said, you're not doing 1 John. What are you thinking? And I prayed about it and I really felt strongly like the Lord said, you have to do the book of Exodus. You must do the book of Exodus. And then I got really excited about it. And so we're going to begin in a couple weeks the book of Exodus and go through Exodus. And our title for our series is going to be Freedom, Identity, and Purpose. Because that's what the book of Exodus is about. It's about freedom, identity, and purpose. But the subtitle is this: the Gospel of Christ in the book of Exodus. Because we're going to look for Jesus in that. See, Jesus came to fulfill these things. You know, the Scriptures are powerful. The book of Exodus is amazing. I mean, that story in Genesis, it just gets ramped up in the book of Exodus, and it's even more intense. And God sets his people free. Freedom. He establishes this covenant relationship with them, gives them a new identity. And then he reveals his purpose for their lives. Freedom, identity, and purpose. And it's going to be an awesome, powerful thing. But Jesus came to fulfill these Scriptures. So we're going to look for Jesus in it. How do you do that? How do you do that? The Spirit of God will show us as we read the book of Exodus how to find Jesus in the text. All of it speaks of him. He's the fulfillment. The gospel fulfills every theme which is illustrated in Exodus, and Jesus wants to fulfill it in your life. So the last day when I was up there in Canada praying about this, I was all excited about Exodus, and I was praying before I left. And I felt like the Lord really spoke to me very clearly. And he said, I don't want you guys just to learn the book of Exodus. I want you to live it. I went, oh, that kind of takes it up to another level. I want you to live it. I'm like, wow. Well, I got a lot of great ideas about Exodus that we could all learn. Doesn't matter. I want you to live it. I want you to live it. And you can. Why? Because Jesus is in the story. The living Christ is alive today. And when you read the story looking for Jesus and you listen to the Spirit of Jesus speaking to your heart, he's going to bring all that together and he's going to bring freedom, identity, and purpose to our lives. And that's powerful. That's the gospel. That's the way it works. So we're going to let the word of Christ dwell in us richly, looking for Jesus, listening for Jesus. And we're going to do it together in community. So let's go back to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians 3, Notice what happens in verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And now, here's what he says. As you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, and then he talks about community. As you teach and admonish, as you teach and encourage, as you share wisdom with each other, as you worship together, as you're thankful together, it's all going to be rooted in the word of Christ, the seed that's bringing life in your heart. We're going to do it together in community. So here's what we're going to do as we go into the fall. You know, we have our community group sign-ups out here, and there's a lot of people signing up for groups, and a lot of the groups that are already existing are kind of getting fired up again to head into fall together. But one of the things that we're going to do this year is we're going to give you the opportunity in your small groups to do what we're calling sermon-based small groups. Because it's not enough just to come on Sunday and hear the word and go away. You need to meditate on it. You need to think about it. You need to internalize the word. You need to do a Bob Greenwald on it. All right. How can you do that if you just hear and you go away? So we want to give you the opportunity to stay focused on these passages. So every week in the bulletin, there will be material for you to take away with you, which is focused on the passage in Scripture and which will give you more to take with you in your thinking, some cross-references in the Bible, a memory verse perhaps, something for you to take all week long and to let the word dwell richly within your heart and to interact with others in your group around these themes. So what's it going to do? We're going to pursue this opportunity to have a deeper experience with the word of God in our lives. I'm really, really excited about it because it's like a seed. And I expect that we can, maybe we should go put a plaque. You know, we should put a plaque out there, Jonathan. Put a plaque out in front of the church. Get the date. You know, September 17th, 2006, we started sermon-based ministry at our church all week long, and we expect to see a giant sequoia tree resulting from it in a few years. Have faith, all right? Have faith. Because this is the power of God's Word. Now, when we sat down together with Bob and Madeline Greenwald, what happened was there was ministry that happened in the sharing of the word of Christ. This is what Christ is doing in my life. Here's a verse from the Bible that God has blessed me with. Here's an encouragement for your life. It was rooted in Christ and in his word and filled with love, and that's a beautiful example of what should happen in our lives. I want to leave you this morning with one final thought about the word, and there were so many things that I wanted to say about the word that I was on overload. I had all these verses, you know, and I had to pare them down. But I want to share with you one final thought, and that is that the Word of God is a treasure. It's another image for the Word, is that it is a treasure for us. In Psalm 119, the psalmist says that I have esteemed your Word like thousands of coins of silver and gold. As great treasure, beyond all treasures, I've esteemed your Word. The Word of God is an absolute treasure. Heaven and earth will pass away, but the Word of God will remain forever. I want you to know something. The Word of God will never let you down. It is true, and it will remain, and there is life in it, and you can count on it. And that's the truth. It is a treasure. I want you to treasure it in your life. I treasure the Word of God in my life. It was about the time that my family came into a lot of money when I was a young man, when I became a Christian and decided to go in the ministry. And then we had a family meeting, and my dad got everyone together and said, we're going to make millions. The whole family, everybody needs to get in the family business. We'll all be multimillionaires. And that's what they did. And everybody in my family went off and made multimillion dollar things happen. And I said at that meeting, you know what? The Lord Jesus Christ has called me into the ministry, and I want to preach and teach the Word of God. That's what I'm going to do with my life. And that's the course that I took. Now, some people hear that story and they say, wow, you made a big sacrifice, you know, for the Lord. But the thing is that I don't view it that way. I do not view it as a sacrifice. I didn't view it at the time. as a sacrifice in any way. I'm thinking, I'm the winner in this deal. Really? And I've never regretted, except a couple times when I was broke. But it has been a couple times. But I don't regret the decision. And here's the reason why. Because the Word of God is so rich and so real and so true, and it's never going to let me down. You know, riches come and go. Life is a roller coaster. There's a lot of stuff in life that you can lose. You can lose your wealth. You can lose your mind. You can lose relationships. You can lose your health. You can lose all kinds of things in life. But you can never lose if your life is rooted in the Word of God. No man is a fool to give up that which he cannot keep in order to gain that which he cannot lose. That's just a great saying. And it's the truth. I want you to treasure the Word of God. And you will not be let down in your life. You will not be let down. You know, you'll be 83 and you'll be on fire for life, for the Lord, for the hope of the future. You will not be let down. And that's the truth of the Word. And I want us, this is our goal, to be strong in love and to be strong in the Word. Let's pray together about that. Lord, you're so awesome. And we glory in the salvation that's given to us in Jesus Christ, Lord. You give dignity to our lives, meaning and purpose, Lord. A new identity, freedom, all of the great gifts of the gospel through Jesus Christ. And it's humbling and it's exciting, Lord. And now, Lord, I pray that we as a congregation might reflect the great reality of Jesus Christ and your Word, Lord. May it be so in our love, Lord. May we be a loving community in a needy world. And may it be so, Lord, in our relationship with you through the Word of Christ, that we're strong in the Word, that your Word shapes our thinking and our feeling, that shapes our hearts and minds, and gives us a different perspective that is filled with faith and hope and love. May we find Jesus, Lord, in the Word, and may we hear Jesus in the Word. I'm trusting you, Lord. I'm excited about what will happen in our lives over the next few months. So please go before us, Lord. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen.